Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Well, this guy's a lot of fun. Yes, he is Jimmy Bell of Wethersfield, a local guitarist who's with Autograph and Beyond Purple. Beyond Purple, which has a few shows coming up in the next few months. Four Seasons at the Lake at Stafford Springs, Crystal Bees in Southington. He'll be playing Deep Purple songs and beyond. So songs like this, Highway Star. Also, Autograph's got a new album out. We're going to talk about that. And you also better believe that we are going to talk about his 1986 audition with Ozzy Osbourne. And maybe you're wondering, hey, how did that happen? Well, we're going to get the answers out of Jimmy on Spotlight Connecticut.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
What's going on, everyone? This is Joe from Hebron, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Jimmy, pleasure to have you in the studio today.
Morgan, thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
You know, I always see you on stage and not so much in these kinds of situations. You look the same.
Okay.
You really do. I didn't know what you were going to be wearing. You know, you look like you do on stage. You look great.
I could have worn my sweatpants and my baseball cap and stuff. I said, I got to come in looking good.
You've been at this for so long now. You graduated Wethersfield High School in 1976. You've been playing and involved in music since way before then. How did it get all started for you? I guess you were a little kid, from what I understand, and it wasn't always the guitar that you were playing.
My mom used to put me to sleep with records. They would have, and even as a...
Like what?
They were into big band music, so I would listen to Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman. I actually grew up on that music. That was the first music that I really loved was big band era.
Okay.
You know, as a kid, I had a toy drum set and a toy guitar, and I wish I still had the toy guitar because I found out it's worth a lot of money. It was a Roy Rogers guitar, but of course, it's long gone. But, I even held it left-handed. I'm left-handed. Which is very difficult to get guitars when you're, because
yeah, you probably go to a store and you see a bunch for right hand,
thousands of right handed guitars, and there's like maybe one or two lefties. It's just the way of the world. That's nothing, it's the way it is.
Right.
All through school, I played the stand up bass in the orchestra. So I don't know how I got talked into that, but I did. And it used to be funny.
My goodness.
Yeah. I felt bad because my mom used to have to, was bigger than I was.
Lug it around for you.
Used to bring it into the school and everything. But I never got that good on it because I was playing it right-handed and I didn't make the connection that I was playing the bass right-handed, but when I picked up a guitar, I held it left-handed. I didn't realize what was going on yet, you know?
Right.
Because of the big band music, I became infatuated with Gene Krupa, who was a legendary jazz drummer. I told the band instructor I wanted to switch to drums. I really excelled in it pretty quick. This is around age 10, and I won a scholarship from the Hartford Conservatory. Now I'm in junior high, and the drum set's at my house, and there was a couple high school kids that would come over, bring their guitars, and I would play drums with them. So one day, the guitar player decided to leave his guitar out. I picked it up and turned the amp on and hit a low E string, and I just lost my mind. I said, oh, my God, this is what I want to do. I don't want to play drums.
Right then and there.
I don't know what came over me. I dropped my drum scholarship instantly, and I said, I have to play guitar. From the age of 13, I picked up the guitar, and it's been nonstop in my hands ever since.
You're growing up, getting interested in the guitar. You've got the Beatles, Deep Purple, so many really prominent rock influences. Could you talk about how that inspired you to go on and continue down the path of playing the guitar?
These guys that I was jamming with had brought over this record by Johnny Winter. Now, Johnny Winter is a blues player.
Brother of Edgar Winter, right?
Yeah. And Johnny had this style of blues playing where he played traditional blues, but he had a lot of fire in him, so he would play a lot of fast chops, too. And that record alone is the first thing that changed my life. From Johnny Winter, I discovered Deep Purple.
Richie Blackmore.
Discovering Deep Purple changed my life. I got to see them, I think it was 1973 or 74, at New Haven Coliseum. I'll never forget. They opened up with Highway Star. Back then, I believe they used to use dry ice because the smoke from the dry ice would stay very low to the stage as opposed to fog that they use nowadays that goes up in the air and gives a nice haze over all the lighting throughout the, you know, the venue. And I remember looking at that on stage and just watching Richie Blackmore, and I was, you know, infatuated with him.
Did your parents support you going down this rock and roll path, or were they hoping that you'd become like a lawyer, a doctor,
well,
anything
sure
like
they,
that?
I'm sure they were hoping that, but, you know, because of the fact my mom was very much into music, because my mom used to get up and sing with bands, and my father was always supportive of no matter what I did. Yes, I get to do what I love. I've been fortunate.
Right.
The downside of it is, when you're doing this, unless you really get to that level, you can never count on steady paycheck. Your yearly income is different every year because sometimes you work a lot, sometimes you don't. You have good weeks, good months, bad months. That's just the way the music business is.
It's not easy either because I was speaking, anybody just tuning in, I'm chatting with Jimmy Bell, rock guitarist. You play across Connecticut, but you also play across the country. You go overseas.
Oh, yeah.
You do
everywhere.
It all. It's not easy keeping up with a schedule like that.
No. And because of the fact that the way the record industry has changed so much, you don't make what you did. Back in the days, they were giving major, major dollar record deals, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, ridiculous amount. That doesn't happen anymore.
Top tier
will get a good dollar figure. But
so where does the money come in now for musicians? Is it through events, appearances, concerts? Is that where the money flow is?
You take it no matter how you could get it. What it is, you go out and tour, and merchandise is still a huge part of an income. And that's always been a good part of a band's income is, you know, selling merchandise at a show. It supplements a lot. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, I've been blessed in many ways, but I've been disappointed in so many ways as well.
Well, you were the beauty queen runner-up.
I was.
You referred to it.
Yeah.
There's quite a timeline. Everybody listening in the Spotlight Connecticut audience, you want to hear this, so start with the beginning of the timeline.
Right, so I ended up in a band up in Canada. I was performing at a place called the Mustache Club, and a producer happened to show up at the club, and he heard some of our original music that we played. He goes, what are you guys doing? I didn't know what he meant. You know, he approached me at the end of a gig.
Sure.
I go, what do you mean? What are we doing?
But it's always those connections.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know where it's going to go.
Yeah, yeah. I go, what do you, I don't understand this question. What do you mean what we're doing? I go, well, I'm just playing. He goes, I have this big recording studio right down in Old Montreal. He says, you want to come and record some of this stuff? So we went to the studio and we recorded a bunch of demos. We had all this stuff going on. And it ended up that the producer was somebody that worked with Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Okay.
He did a bunch of stuff, took a lot of interest in us, and put us on retainer. He was going to represent us and went back and forth to, New York, saying that we were getting signed. You know, he met with some big executives in New York, and they're listening to stuff. They're going, you guys are going to be the next Led Zeppelin. This is, it's just typical.
And everybody hears that at some point, right?
Yes. And this is my first time actually hearing this. You know, someone saying you're going to be the next Led Zeppelin. You're young. And
you believe it.
You believe it. And, I'll tell you, I was told at least 27 different times that the record deal was being signed next week. Next week it's getting signed or just finishing up the contract. Well, as things happen, nothing happened. And I ended up coming back to Connecticut. And some buddies of mine said, hey, Jimmy, yeah, we want you to play guitar. I said, okay. So we formed Joint Forces and the band just took off. Joint Forces took off like a freight train. Everybody, no matter where we played, it just was massive audiences. And this gentleman took an interest in us. He worked for Joan Jett, and he worked up at the New York office for Blackheart Records. He says, I'm starting a new management company. I have a partner who owns a fleet of tour buses.
Here we go again.
Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. He puts us out on tour with Joan Jett. Of course, we didn't make any money, but we had a tour bus and we didn't care. We were in our 20s. We're out on tour with Joan Jett. We could care less. We have this beautiful tour bus. All the Jones band and road crew all hopped on our bus.
And you got to meet her, too. And I guess that there was separation. Not everybody got to meet Joan Jett, but you got to hang out with her.
Yeah. Joan and I just hit it off. We became very good friends. She didn't. In fact, I'm the only one that has a photo with her. So the tour ends. There's talk about a movie. Joan's going to be in a movie with superstar Michael J. Fox. Now, Michael J. Fox had just got off doing Back to the Future. And of course,
huge name
in the 80s. Huge. I mean, everybody loved Michael J. Fox. So we do this movie, light of day. The movie.
This just keeps building up.
Yeah, yeah. The movie comes out. I go see it in a movie theater. You know, I'm with a whole bunch of people, and then our scene comes up.
When you were there and you see yourself, were you like, oh my God, there I am?
I stood up. I was with a whole bunch of people. And when the scene came up, after the scene was done, I stood up in a theater and everybody was cheering. It was so
no
fun.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where did you see that? Was it here in Connecticut?
Yeah, I saw it here in Connecticut. It was
in this area?
Yeah, in Southington, actually. I saw it. It came to a theater in Southington. Right as you think that something could really happen for Joint Forces because of all this, the manager that we had decides he's just going to go and continue the work with Joan Jett. And doesn't want to stay involved in this.
Another letdown.
It was mind-blowing to see that he had this opportunity to really do something with this. And didn't. The ball got dropped.
Well, so, how do you feel? Obviously disappointed.
I'm in my 20s, so I was very disappointed. But I'm also thinking ahead. I'm going that, well, something could happen here still. It's not,
Is this what takes us to 86?
Takes us to
87, right around there?
Yeah. I do a guitar clinic at a local music store for the Kramer Company. And this gentleman, Floyd Rose, who invented the Floyd Rose tremolo. It's this amazing mechanism that goes on a guitar and it keeps the guitar in perfect tune. He comes around and does a clinic. I happen to have one before they even made them left-handed. I had one drilled out. I took a right-handed one and converted it into
you had to get crafty.
Yeah, I had to get crafty because they didn't make one lefty yet. He saw me, and he said to me after the clinic, I really impressed him. He says, you should have an endorsement with Kramer. And I said, that would be the most wonderful thing in the world, because Kramer Guitars was the biggest company. Eddie Van Halen was endorsing them at this time. They were taking on every big artist at that time, Richie Sambora, everybody.
So you had to be good to get one of those endorsements.
Yeah, you had to be.
They're not just handing them out.
No, they're not. I didn't even have a record deal. All these other artists that they had were big artists. So the president comes down and he sees me and goes, exact words from his mouth were, "I understand I owe you an endorsement." And I go, "Mr. Berardi, that would be the dream for me." And he goes, "Well, consider it done."
That was it?
That was it. 1986, on a Wednesday. I'll never forget it. I get a phone call from the company. They say, "Jimmy, Ozzy's looking for a guitar player. Jakey Lee is out." They'd already found Zach Wilde. They already found him. So they were working with him a little bit. But then Sharon saw my videotape. So they had to fly me. They wanted to fly me to California. So Kramer Company calls and says, "Jimmy, you're going out to audition for Ozzy." "Great." I said, "When am I going? Next week?" And they go, "No, today. Your plane ticket is booked. You have to get to the airport right now."
Wow.
And I go, "Right now?"
It's like, so yeah. Guess what? You're on that plane.
Yeah. I'm on that plane going to California. I get out there. You don't audition with Ozzy right away. You audition with the bassist, Phil Suzanne, and the drummer, Randy Castile. I played with them. And Sharon Osbourne sat there and watched me play.
Were you nervous at all?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. She didn't sit and watch every guitar player, but she sat there because she wanted to see if what she just spent a plane ticket on
was the real deal, what
she saw in the video. Exactly. She says, "Okay, well, you're going to play with Ozzy." So we go to a whole different studio that had a big stage. In comes Ozzy. You see Ozzy on TV. You see him in magazines. You hear him on the radio, whatever. Nothing compares to like being face to face with him. It's very, very different.
How is it different?
It's surreal. It's like you just can't even believe it. Like, you know.
That he's right in front of you.
You just don't even realize. When you realize everything that man has done, regardless of, you know, his insanity or anything, just his legacy with Black Sabbath. Can I backtrack for one quick second?
There's this guy from Sweden.
Yes. That's what I wanted to tell you. I don't know how much time we have.
Go for it.
There was a guy from Sweden came up. I don't know who he was. I still don't know to this day. Anyways, he goes up before me. They're playing Flying High again. And Flying High has a very distinct guitar solo in it. It's something that you wouldn't really alter. You know, you could alter a lot of solos at your own, you know, your
but
own
not
things.
That one.
Yeah, that one is one of those solos that you don't alter. This kid decided he wanted to get creative with it. Ozzy did not like that, but he didn't let the kid see him. So Ozzy's standing behind him. He puts his hands out. I know nobody out there in Radio Land could not see this.
No, just describe it.
He puts his hands out behind him as if he's strangling him.
Oh.
Like he's got his hands almost like around his neck and he doesn't see this. And then
but everybody else does.
Yeah, everybody. And I'm watching this and then he's making like he's stabbing him with a knife behind his back. And then the kid kind of turned around and Ozzy gives him the thumbs up like ooh. That. Like,
and Jimmy Bell's making mental note, do not do this.
I made a lot of mental notes. Anyways, he gets done. He leaves the room. I go up on stage and so I'm aware of things. That made me even more nervous. So I go up on stage and the first song I do is I Don't Know. That's the name of the song, I Don't Know. I start the song and I had a really good groove going with the band. And everything. Everything's going great. And Ozzy's standing there at the microphone. And Ozzy used to does this thing where you'd see him do it live if you ever see him. He kind of stands, he grabs a mic and starts rocking back and forth a little bit, holding the mic.
Right. Yes.
So I'm watching him doing that. I see as the song's going, he's going back and forth.
He's in a groove.
And he's I'm really doing a great job. So when it comes time for me to play the solo in the song, Ozzy gets right down in front of the amplifier and listens to me play the guitar solo. And that one I did a little bit of my own, but not I didn't go way off from it. It still was the same thing. I just played it my own style a little bit.
Close to the real deal.
Close to the real deal, but using a little bit of my own flair to it. And that didn't bother him at all.
About how long did this all last?
I would say it was about an hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good hour. And after that, Sharon and Ozzy sat down with me, and they said to me, well, Jimmy, it's between you and Zach.
You got the chance to go have dinner with those two as well.
Yes,
Ozzy
I did.
And Sharon.
Yes, I did. We went, the whole the band, Randy and Phil, Ozzy, Sharon, and myself all went to this.
Had to be an exclusive place.
It was. It was this crazy. It was a very expensive place in L.A. That's all I got. I mean, there was everybody in suits, you know, doctors, lawyers, whatever, you know, executives went to this place. And then in comes Ozzy.
A little bit of a clash.
A little bit of clash. But, you know, his income is probably more than those people anyway.
It probably was.
So, you know, he's allowed in there.
Jimmy Bell, I'm really digging this conversation. And you know I don't want to do it, but we are up against a hard break. So hang on. I want to know what happened at dinner with Ozzy Osbourne. We will get those answers next on Spotlight Connecticut.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
You know, I wish I had more like 4 hours to chat with Jimmy Bell, guitarist of Autograph and Beyond Purple, locally from Wethersfield, and proud to be from Wethersfield, too. We're chatting with him about his experiences in those bands playing songs like Hush, but he's also in the middle of telling us about his time auditioning with Ozzy Osbourne back in 1986. And I've just got to know, what did he talk about with Ozzy and Sharon? You're sitting down with them. What do you talk about?
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, I'm Kevin in Seymour, and I'm listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
So you're sitting at dinner with Ozzy. You're talking with him and Sharon Osbourne. Did they say anything to you that has stuck with you all this time? You know that in terms of the audition, it's down to you or Zach Wilde. But what else did you guys talk about? Anything?
Not really too much. I think we talked about influences and you know, things like that. A funny thing I said to him, I said, at the time I used to not eat cherry tomatoes. A salad came. And I said, do you want my tomatoes? And he said, yeah, no. You know, he didn't want them. I'm talking to Sharon. She's across from me. And next thing I know, I look and Ozzy's hand is in my salad. He's pulling the tomatoes.
He's taking them anyway
with his hand, not even a fork, just grabbing them right out of my salad bowl, which I thought was, you know, that's classic Ozzy going in and taking it with his hands. She sees that he's a little messed up. She gets him out of there. They invite me over to their, I don't even know what you, if you would call it a bungalow or wherever they were staying.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally.
so unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
And on Sunset Strip, it was, you know, some sort of housing. I get to meet his youngest daughter, Amy Osborne. Now, Amy is the one that did not...
Wasn't on the show.
Exactly.
She must have been a little girl around that time.
Very little. As a matter of fact, Ozzy had her on his lap. And MTV is on. I'll never forget this. I'm sitting there. I mean, this is weird. You got to remember, I'm sitting in a living room with Ozzy, you know, at their hut there. And he's bouncing Amy on his lap. All of a sudden, the Black Sabbath Paranoid video comes on MTV. And he's bouncing her and go, look, Amy, there's daddy, you know, like that. And it was just so funny. The guys took me out afterwards to the Troubadour. I got to hang out with them. They were very nice.
You also got to hang out with Zach Wilde, too, back at the hotel.
Yeah, Zach, you're right. I totally forgot about that. Zach came into my hotel room. He came up.
You played for him.
Yeah, I did. I had a knock on my door. I opened it up, and there's Zach Wilde, a very young-looking Zach Wilde, not how he looks now.
No?
You know, he was not buffed and looked like a Viking, like he does.
He changed his image a little
later.
Oh,
yeah, he was very thin, clean-cut guy. He had that Randy Rhodes look, I have to say. He comes into the room. He wanted to see what his competition would be. We just start jamming. I know for a fact he was worried.
How do you know?
Because
could you see it in his face? Or?
Well, I found out afterwards a girl that I knew from out in California was at a guitar clinic after Ozzy had picked him. You know, Zach was doing a clinic at a music store. They were talking about the Ozzy audition. Zach said, I didn't think I had the gig because there was this other guitar player, Jimmy Bell, that I heard play. I didn't think I was going to get the gig after hearing him. He said something to that effect, which was so nice of him to say that. They never said, they never called me and said that Zach had the gig. I just kind of, which I thought was a bit strange.
How did you find out? So you come back to Connecticut and you find out
about,
after the fact?
Yeah, about a month later. It's just, I'm not really hearing anything a few weeks. And then, of course, you hear it on all over that Zach Wilde's the new guitar player. And you talk about a real devastating blow. Everything in your mind circulates. You know, you're going like, oh, my God, my life could have changed so amazingly. You know, like so many things, opportunities could have happened because of this.
Did your friends and your family back here in Connecticut know that you were doing this? Did you keep it quiet?
I had to keep the audition quiet at first, but they found out anyway.
They found out.
So anyways, I go to I'm sitting around, still hoping, practicing my guitar all the time and trying to do stuff. And my phone rings, and there's an English gentleman on the line. He says, is this Jimmy? And I said, yes. He says, this is Terrence Butler.
A.K.A.?
Yeah. And I said, Terrence Butler. And he says, yeah. He says, I got your tape from Sharon. I'm putting together a new project. And then it clicked. I said, oh, my God, this is Geezer Butler, the bassist from Black Sabbath. I said, I can't believe this because Geezer was one of my – I always, you know – listening to Black Sabbath, I always thought Geezer was probably one of the most incredible, thunderous bass players there ever was.
Of course.
He's telling me about this project he's doing. He's doing a solo thing, but not as heavy as Black Sabbath. He asked me if I'm interested. And of course I'm interested. You know, he shouldn't even have to ask
that. Of course. That's a yes.
And then the next thing you know, I'm on a plane to London. That was my first trip overseas of many.
What a first trip.
Yeah, going to London. So I land, and we had this rehearsal place that we actually, you lived at and everything. They housed you there. They fed you there. He comes into the room and says, I'm just in the room by myself playing guitar. He says, can you write a song similar to a Black Sabbath song? And I said, well, funny you say that. I said, I've been working on this song. And I said, I even came up with kind of a working title for it called Master of Insanity. He liked the title. I played him the song, and next thing you know, we're recording it.
But you didn't get a credit for it.
No, we record the whole song. I fly home, and I get a phone call from Gloria Butler, Geezer's wife. And she says, Jimmy, the person that signed you at MCA got caught doing something bad. I don't know what it was exactly. He got fired and all his projects got dropped. Everything that he was about.
Everything?
Everything. Now we're up to about 1992 and I get a call from Gloria and she says, Jimmy, I don't know if you heard, but Black Sabbath is getting back together with Ronnie James Dio. She says, Jimmy, I have wonderful news. They're going to use Master of Insanity on the record.
Finally, some good news.
Yeah, finally. Some. And I'm going, oh, this is wonderful. Thank you so much. She goes, but we have one problem.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. It never stops. She says, we cannot give you songwriting credit.
And why is that?
She says, because Tony Iommi, the guitarist from Black Sabbath, would never allow a song written by another guitar player on a Black Sabbath record. But he's just going to put your name in a special thanks. And when this tour is over, we're going to pay you for a song.
You got your credit and did you get paid?
No.
Accordingly?
No.
You didn't?
No. And what was funny is that it wasn't a filler song either, because all the reviews of the record happened to mention that song as being one of the better songs on the record. And they actually played the song live. So it was a strong enough song where they put it into their set and performed it. As far as getting paid, I wasn't really expecting to get paid. Even as close as I was to with Gloria and Geezer, and I really trusted them, I look at it like this. All the money that Black Sabbath has, the billions of dollars, well, how much would one song have cost them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A couple thousand. Not even. Who knows? They could have made me any offer. You know, realistically, I just would have taken it. Yeah, that's really cool. You know, if it was a decent offer here. Yeah, there you go.
So, tell me about some of your latest projects. You're an autograph. You've got Beyond Purple. Beyond Purple is going to be playing locally here in Connecticut.
Yeah.
In Southington, I know that they have a few shows coming up.
Yeah, Beyond Purple's a great thing. I've been...
And it's a tribute to one of your old heroes.
Yeah, it is.
You fill up rooms.
Yeah.
You go to Crystal B's in Southington, and it's standing room only out there.
It's amazing. That band has a lot of great musicians in it. You know Brian. He's great. Mark Zito. BJ Zampa. You know, here's the thing. I've always done a lot of projects with BJ, the drummer. I've been in House of Lords, which is a band Gene Simmons put together back in the late 80s. I joined them in 2005, and mm-hmm. I brought BJ in with me. So I've done 9 albums with them. And all of a sudden, this opportunity in 2019 came where the original guitar player for Autograph quit the band. He didn't want to be an Autograph anymore. He wanted to go do something else. I had already became friends with those guys because I would go see them at Mohegan Sun, and I'd be talking with them. And so I kind of already knew them. So when I read that he quit, I gave bassist Randy Rann a call and just said, hey, you know, I'd like an opportunity to audition for this. And that's the next thing you know. He gave me 3 songs. I learned those 3 songs instantly. So I said, give me more songs. Give me more. And before you knew it, I had their whole set list done.
You knew it all.
I knew them all with vocals and everything else. So it just worked out better than you could imagine. When I went to L.A., right after we played the first song, they knew I was their guitar player. It sounded like we had been playing together for years.
You guys just put out a new album.
Yes. We just put out a new record called Beyond. And unfortunately, in April, of this year, we lost our bassist, Randy Rand. He was the last original member in the band. He passed away suddenly.
You've got to miss him.
Very much. He was like a brother to me. We were very close. I'd have to say one of the happiest things is that I'm so thrilled that he is on this whole record. He had done the whole record, and we had turned it in and everything else before he passed away. The only thing we had to do different was, you know, we had already given all the artwork to the company as well. Mm-hmm. So after he passed away, we got a special dedication page made for him that got inserted.
When you're getting ready for a show, I think that there are a lot of people out there who probably don't know, and I've seen you backstage. You'll be sitting there with a guitar, and I'll see your fingers going. You're practicing, you're rehearsing. It's not hooked up to anything. You know, I can't hear it. I hear, you know, the fingers tapping the strings.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't hear any music. But obviously, you're hearing it in your head, and you're getting your fingers ready. So I've got to ask, how much do you practice?
All the time.
All the time.
Especially a day of a show. No matter what the show is, I've always taken it. Like, I used to have an every Thursday gig at a club. I always wanted to give the best performance I can, if possible. When I'm out on the road with Autograph and stuff, I'll play guitar all day in my hotel room. We'll show up at soundcheck. I'll play all through soundcheck, and then I will even play right up to showtime. And then sometimes, even after the show, if I'm not 100% satisfied with the way that I perform that night, I'll pull the guitar out of the case when I get back to the room.
And go back at it.
And go back at it and try to figure out, what did I do wrong? What wasn't clicking? That it's mental. It's it's obsession, and you know, to do what I've done all of my life, you know, the struggles and the disappointments, along with the good, but you know, there was a tremendous amount of disappointments. You got to be tweaked differently.
Advice for somebody just getting started in music. What would you tell them if there was one thing that you could tell them, other than practice makes perfect and all of that, right? If there's something that you could tell a really good aspiring musician, a young you, what would it be?
Practice as hard as you can. If you want this, you can't be one of these guys that picks up a guitar, for a half hour and has some fun and then goes out drinking. And, I always tell people, young kids especially, if you can, stay away from alcohol, drugs, any mind-altering things, because it is not good for you whatsoever. It does not help your playing. You're not playing good when you're on that stuff or doing anything. So I always tell them that, but you should definitely have some sort of backup plan. Don't put all your eggs into this basket, because it's a very, very difficult business now. Back in the 70s, late 60s, 70s, they were signing everybody. I tell people, don't drop out of high school to be a guitar, be a musician. Go to college, get a real life, because you really, really might need it. And I know a lot of buddies of mine that play guitar that are, lawyers, and, there's a lot of people that do it. And, they look at me and they say, oh, you're so fortunate. I'm stuck behind a debt. I go, you're a doctor. I go, what are you talking about? You're making, a stupid amount of money. Why are you even questioning this? You're a lawyer. What are you doing? What do you mean you want to be me? I've gotten to go all over the world for free. The downside is you just don't have a steady income. I'm very grateful to have a wonderful, wonderful wife. Mandy, who really, she supports me 100% mentally, emotionally, and, a lot of times financially too.
Well, as our final thought here, could you just talk a little bit more about the shows you've got coming up?
There's all kinds of stuff coming up. The night before New Year's Eve, I'm playing. The Eve of Eve, I'm playing. It's at Four Seasons in Stratford. And then I'm playing Crystal B's New Year's Eve, as well as on January 28th. Is my birthday show, which I want you at.
I will be rocking with you.
Yeah.
For sure,
These are Beyond Purple shows.
When they go to the show, what are some titles that they can expect to hear in Beyond Purple?
Knock It at Your Back Door, Woman from Tokyo, Burn, Highway Star, Hush. all the popular Whitesnake songs, Here I Go Again, Love Ain't No Stranger, Slow and Easy, Still in the Night, you know, Street of Dreams is one of my favorite from Rainbow, Man on the Silver Mountain, that's with Ronnie Dio singing, and Since You've Been Gone is a Graham Bonnet song, Stone Cold, you know, so we didn't want to do the obscure stuff that people didn't know.
Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my God. I am so happy you had me on. I really wanted to come do this. Like I said, I haven't got to go to, you know, everything has changed. You know, it's either Zoom or Facebook Messenger or emails or a lot of phone calls. This was just so much fun to actually get out of the house and do it at a real studio. And not to mention, TIC, I've been a, you know, fan for years. This is legendary to be in this studio.
Famous Bob Steele station.
Yeah.
You must have grown up.
It was on every morning. On the radio, we'd have Bob Steele on. My mom would be listening to him, you know, all the time. It's legend. So I couldn't wait to come here.
Jimmy Bell on Spotlight Connecticut, and that is what I call one heck of an interview. And if we're talking about Deep Purple, I know we talked about some other bands and other musicians, but I'm into Deep Purple mode and mood right now. There's only one song to take us out of here, and it's Smoke on the Water.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.